All right, if you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, I want to try to, and I hope and pray that I'm able to, go through this passage with you because it's so important. We look at the world today, and I know each and every one of us, we all have our own problems, and there's so much going on in the world today and in our homes and in our churches, and we're not happy about it, right? And sometimes we just feel like throwing our hands up, and what are we going to do? Well, we need to remember what the battle is. And I'm talking to myself a little bit here this morning, okay? So we need to remember what the battle is. The battle's about souls. See, it's not about you. It's not about me. If you're here today, most of us in this room, I believe, are born-again believers. And with that being said, it's up to us. What is our job daily? To reach out for souls. Everything else is immaterial. Everything else really doesn't matter. It's what we're supposed to do is say, you know, reach out and lead souls to Christ. Folks, I don't know about you, but I believe we're in the end time. And we look at what's going on in the world today. Can you imagine what's going to happen to this country if Trump was to lose the election? I mean, it's going to be a horrible thing. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but it's always a possibility. So with that being said, I think that the time of the trumpet is very close. And I would like to say, I'd love to hear it blow before I get into this passage. I'd love to hear the trumpet sound. But then I feel bad about that when I say that. Because I think about all the souls that's going to be lost and left behind because they don't know Jesus. So with that being said, there's a lot of people out here in the world today that's confused about salvation. Churches aren't getting the message across correctly. And there's so many untruths being taught and so many different Bibles being used. Things are so twisted up. When God plainly tells us how we are to be saved. You know, each and every one of us in this room today or anywhere else on this planet, we all get saved the same way. So folks, when you think about going soul winning, just like the ladies soul winning club, the foster club getting started up here, go sign up and go lead somebody to the Lord. Because I'll tell you how they get saved, same way you did. We all get saved the same way. There's different circumstances, but the salvation all comes the same. The Bible teaches us that Abraham, what? Believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. See, Abraham was looking forward to the cross. Abraham was looking forward to the promise of the Lord Jesus. And he believed God. And today we do the same thing. Except today we look at the cross. We know that Jesus is our Savior. We know that Jesus was crucified. But we all get saved the same. We believe. We believe in the Lord Jesus. And there's just so many misconceptions out here. You can go out here, and if you've ever been soul winning, how many times have you had somebody tell you, well, I'd like to get saved, but I got so many things I need to get straightened out first. Folks, you're never going to get anything straightened out without Jesus. Jesus is the one that straightens them out. We get saved first. But see, where did that come from? That comes from the world. That comes from believing that there's something they do in self, something I can do to get myself to heaven. There's nothing we can do to get to heaven except believe. But see, man is so prideful. I heard a man say one time that man's so prideful that he's nothing but a walking, talking dirt ball. Well, that's a prideful soul, right? And if you think about that, there's a lot of truth in that. We're created from the dirt of the earth, right? So, but boy, we ought to be prideful. But see, man is so prideful, he wants to have part in his salvation. He wants to have some say-so in the matter. And it's not like that. And I wanted to go through Romans here in chapter 5 this morning, and I just pray that the Lord will let me communicate to you what he has shown me. Because it's so simple. Man makes everything complicated. They want to take scriptures and twist and turn anything they can do to suit themselves or to give them power over you even. In a lot of churches, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for power over the people. And that's not what God teaches us. The only one that has any power is the Lord Jesus, right? God himself. He's the power. So anyhow, I want to look at this, and we're going to start in verse 8 of chapter 5. It says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, the first thing we need to notice is that third word, he commendeth. That's present tense. Now, we know Jesus was crucified over 2,000 years ago, right? But this is present tense. In other words, his love is commended towards you and I today, the same as it was back when he was crucified. And it'll be the same way tomorrow and the next day. In other words, his love is for all men at all times, all ages. And he goes on, his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the ungodly. You and I are in our sin before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go over into the book of John, it tells us that God didn't come to save the just. He came to save that which was lost, right? And that's you and I. And this is where that part comes in about I need to get things straightened out. No. Jesus came to save us the way we are in our sin. We're all sinners. If we back up a chapter, I believe it's Romans 3. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you and I. That's everybody. We're all sinners. Then it goes on to say, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified how? It doesn't say by keeping the law. It says by his blood. By the shed blood of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. It doesn't say anything about keeping the law. It doesn't say anything here about joining the church. It doesn't say anything here about tithing. It doesn't say anything here about being good. None of those things are mentioned. But yet that's where people try to put things. Well, I joined the church. Well, that's good, and you ought to. If you're a born-again believer, you ought to join the church. But not until. You can't join the church until you're a believer. The people are the church. The building is where we hold church. But we, the believers, are the church. We make up the body of Christ, right? We're part of that body. So how can you join the church if you're lost? So you must be saved first. Then you join the church. Shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, what's he talking about, saved from wrath? That's talking about the wrath of God. It's talking about hell and torment. That's what we're saved from, folks. So that's what we're talking about when we say saved. That's what we're meaning. We're meaning we're saved from the wrath of God. So that, you know, with that being said, we look back at a lot of the folks who think we're going to be here through the tribulation period, or we're going to be here through half the tribulation period, or we're going to be here two-thirds of it. That's not what this is teaching me right here. According to this, I'm saved from the wrath of God. I'm not going to be under God's wrath. So if you're worried about being here through the tribulation period, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I'd be concerned about trying to get those out that's going to be there. We need to be worried about those who's lost and are going to be there. That's where our focus needs to be. But I'm trying to get a hold to the folks today that are having trouble with their salvation. Folks in radio land that have been taught everything but the truth. And if you're in radio land right now, go get your Bible, because I want you to look at these verses yourself. Don't worry about what I say or what some other pastor said or what the Pope said, because those things will get you to hell. What matters is what God says. And right here we have God's truth right before our eyes. In verse 10, it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled." So us being enemies of God, you understand what he's telling us here is that before we're saved, if we're lost today, then we're an enemy of God. See, that happened a long time ago. If you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, when Adam sinned against God, Adam fell out of fellowship with God. He sinned against God and broke fellowship with God. And that's where you and I are today before we're saved. We're not in fellowship with God. We, through salvation, are reconciled. That sin debt is paid. And we are reconciled back to God. We are now back in fellowship with our Lord because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, then we're reconciled back to God. We are now back in fellowship with our Lord. We are now able to come to His throne of grace. We're able to pray and communicate again with our God. And that's why we were talking about prayer a week ago. Folks, prayer is important. We was talking about praying for these folks this morning. Sister Manis, prayer works. Prayer works. And we as believers are back in fellowship with God. We've been reconciled. We have that right to talk and pray with our God. Lost people can't do that. You know, it falls on deaf ears. You understand that? The first prayer that God's ever going to hear from you is a sinner's prayer. When you ask Jesus into your heart, that's the first prayer God's going to hear from you. From that moment on, you're a born-again believer. It says, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Let me back up. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You understand, we're speaking the gospel. We're talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through his death, we were reconciled. By his life, we were saved. You understand that if he just died, he'd be just like any other man, right? He didn't just die. He was crucified. He died. He was buried, and he resurrected. He's not like the other little g gods. They're still buried. Jesus was resurrected, and he lives today. And with that life, he has brought to us eternal life. And it's not because I kept the law. It's not because I was good or not because I paid tithes. And I can't say that enough. All these things are things that are good. And they're things that we should do as believers. But we're not saved because of those things that we do. We're saved because of the gospel that's being taught right here. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In verse 11, it says, not only so, but we also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement. It's kind of hard to have joy with God when you're enemies with God. But once we've received the atonement, we can now joy in God again. We're back in fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We're back in fellowship with God. Now we can joy in all the blessings of the Lord. It's kind of, have you ever seen how many happy lost people do you really see? They may be happy in things, but they're not happy in life, are they? There's no peace without Christ. There is no peace. I don't know if you've ever seen a dying lost man. It's not pleasant most of the time. But what a blessing to see a dying saved man. When they're passing on and they're dying with a smile on their face. That is such a blessing. You know, I saw a woman. Matter of fact, I led a woman to the Lord one time. Over in Lakeland, one of our members was in the process of dying at that moment, and she was the attending nurse. And I asked her, because I had spoke to her earlier, and she wasn't saved. And so I just asked her, I said, have you ever seen somebody so happy that's dying? I mean, he was literally grinning. He had a grin, a smile on his face. Now, I don't know what all was going on, but, I mean, obviously, he was happy. And I asked her at that moment, I said, have you ever seen a lost person die? And she had. And she asked me then how she could get saved. She wanted to have that smile on her face when that time comes. So there is a huge difference between being lost and being saved. And yeah, I was able to lead her to Christ because of that. That was a tremendous blessing for me. We move on to verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, what the Bible is teaching us here is that by one man, and this is talking about Adam in the garden. This is talking about when Adam fell and Adam sinned against God, that sin was passed on to all men. Now, a lot of people have problems with that. But they say, well, why am I a sinner because Adam sinned? Because of the sin curse. And I'm going to take you back to Genesis in just a second and show you that. But let me ask you this. You take a child, they start talking, maybe around two years old? A child will start to talk. How many two-year-olds have you ever seen tell a lie? Yeah. Now, how is that possible? How many infants have you ever seen tell? Have you ever seen an infant tell a lie and it can't even talk yet? You ever had a baby to cry and you go to pick it up and it shuts up? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that baby. But it was crying. He was telling you a lie. He was telling you something was wrong. But there was nothing wrong. That did not have to be taught. That is part of the sin curse. See, we're all born in sin. What has to be taught is righteousness. We have to be taught to do good. We have to be taught not to lie. Lying is natural. And that's why even today, as born-again believers, it's a constant battle. Everything that goes on around you, half of it is not satisfying to you, is it? So-and-so has been lifted a little higher, or so-and-so. There's always something. There's always something going on. Well, I didn't like the way they did that. Okay? Let me ask you, where does that come from? That's part of that sin curse. See, I want to put me above you, or you want to put yourself above me. Isn't that the way it works? And we're all guilty because we all carry the sin curse. And it's not our fault. You're born that way. So you out in radio land that has problems, maybe you have an alcoholic problem. Maybe you're on drugs. Maybe you have 9 wives. I don't know, whatever the case may be. That sin curse you were born with. And folks, there's nothing we can do about that. We can't change the fact that we're born again, that we're born sinners. We can only become born again and get that sin debt paid for, where we reconciled back to God and we receive the atonement. And that's for every man. Now go with me to Genesis. I believe it's chapter 5. I want to read just a couple of verses to you. 5, I'm going to read verse 1. "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man." Now listen to this. How did God create man? It tells us right here. "In the likeness of God made he him." So Adam was created in the likeness of God. Now, I know y'all have heard of the first Adam, and you've heard of Jesus being called the second Adam. I know you've heard that, right? Have you ever given thought to that? Have you ever gave thought to that? Why do we call Adam the first Adam and Jesus the second Adam? See, Adam was created perfect. See, we just skip right through that sometimes. Adam was not created in sin. Adam was created perfect. He's the only other man other than Christ to walk this world perfect until he fell. But he had not sinned against God. He was created perfect. But now let's read on. Let's go ahead and read verse 2. "Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created." In verse 3. "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son." Now listen to this. "In his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." Do you see a difference there? Now you got to remember, this took place after Adam had sinned against God. So his son was created in how? In his likeness, in his image, a sinner. And that's you and I. The Bible teaches us that Eve is the mother of all living. So that's you and I. So we're partakers of that sin curse. We're in the likeness of Adam. Adam sinned against God. So we weren't created perfect the way Adam was created. Adam was created perfect and fell, sinned in the garden, sinned against God, and that sin curse was passed to you and I. So when you and I are born, and that little infant that I was talking about, we're sinners. So because of that sin, we need to be reconciled. And it's just that simple, folks. People think that they have done something to make themselves a sinner. It's something, I lived a really bad life. You may have, but you were a sinner the day you was born. You were born in sin. And what I'm trying to teach to you today is that it's not your fault. God understands that. God knows that. And that's why he has sent Jesus to die for you and I, to reconcile us, to get us back to God where we belong. We're his children. And so many times we forget that. You know, we forget about all this that's taking place here. Let's move on. Verse 12. I'll stop in 11, right? Verse 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, what that is telling us, if we go back before the time of Moses, there was no law. The only law that had been given at that time was to Adam and Eve, not to eat of the forbidden fruit. Outside of that, there's no law been given. Now, pay attention, because God's trying to make a point to you right here. It says in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So in other words, what he's telling us here is that they didn't sin like Adam did. They didn't eat the forbidden fruit. And there is no law yet. The law hadn't been given. The law hadn't been given to Moses. So if there is no law, then there's no wrong, correct? If you don't break the law, you haven't sinned. But what the Bible's saying is nevertheless, they died. So what is he showing us? He's showing us that sin curse was passed to us through Adam. We didn't have to do anything wrong. That sin curse was inherited. So it's passed on to every one of us. So folks, we just need to understand that, because there's so many people in the world that thinks that I have to do something wrong, and in their mind, they're perfect people. They haven't done anything wrong. No, the Bible's trying to show you it doesn't matter what you've done. That sin curse was inherited. And then in verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. Now, what he's saying here is that by the offense of one man, Adam, we're all sinners, every one of us, because Adam sinned, not because Mike Perkins sinned, but Adam sinned. And because of his sin, I'm a sinner. Now, what he's also telling us here is that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, one man that had no sin, grace much more abound. In other words, Christ did more for me than Adam did wrong for me. Christ did more good for me. Not only did he forgive the sin that I committed, he forgave the sins I'm going to commit. He forgave my sin and your sins. And you know, the saddest thing is that there's millions of people walking the world today that their sins have been paid for. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus died and bled and paid for their sin. And yet, they're going to hell, because they won't reach out and take that free gift that God's given them. And it was free. but they won't reach out and take that gift. Millions and millions of people. And this is what Jesus did. When he hung on the cross, when he was crucified, he took that robe of pure white, sinless, pure white robe, and he took it off of himself, and he put it on you. And he took your sin, black, filthy, nasty robe, and put it on himself. And he paid that sin debt. You understand, Jesus paid for every lie you've ever told. He paid for every alcoholic beverage you've ever put in your mouth. He paid for every whoremonger, every gay, any sin, every murderer, every liar, every thief, every whoremonger. He took all that filth on himself. And then sometimes we wonder why God turned his eyes from him when he was on the cross. It was because of you and I. But when that took place, Jesus carried those sins to the pits of hell and defeated death and hell. And just like we read a moment ago, when he resurrected, his life brought us eternal life. And all we've got to do is reach out and take that free gift. It's nothing that I can do other than accept the gift that Jesus gave me. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. It's free, people. We don't earn it. We don't buy it. You can't tithe your way to heaven. You're not going to be good and get yourself to heaven. Let me tell you something. You're better off to be bad and saved than you are to be good and lost. And you can take it any way you want to, but it's a plain fact. We're all sinners saved by grace. And folks, when you see somebody else that's in the world, maybe it's a drunkard. You know, don't look down on that individual. Thank God that that's not you. You know, God has blessed you. He's saved you. He's raised you up out of that gutter that you were in. Because according to Scripture, we're just as nasty and filthy and heathenistic as that drunkard is. But by God's grace, we've been saved. And folks, today, that's what you and I need to be focused on. We need to be focused on the glory and the grace that God has given each and every one of us. Thank God that we still have a church that we can attend this morning. Is it a perfect church? I'll ask you, is it perfect? Not as long as you're here. Think about that. We're all sinners saved by grace, and as long as people are involved, it will never be perfect. But through Christ, when the trumpet sounds, it's going to be perfect in heaven. Amen? And we've got that to look forward to. But you and I need to remember today that all the battles that we're in every day, and there's a lot of battles going on. There's battles going on in people's lives that we don't have a clue about. You know, there are good Christian people that are getting up every day, hitting the floor and going out into the world, and it's a struggle. There's something going on in their life. There's something going on with their children. I'm talking about good Christian people who have served God all their life. And their children are been raised in church, and they're off in something that they have no business being in and just ripping out the hearts of those parents. But they have to keep going, don't they? Are they going to quit? Or are they going to stay in the battle? See, it's easy for us just to throw our hands up and quit, because that's the nature of man. That's what we want to do. That's part of that sin curse. But folks, we can't do that. We got to put all of ourself aside and think about these people who's dying and going to hell every day. How many babies are going to be murdered this week? That's why we're going out to hold up signs today. And please come out. How many babies can be saved? Folks, let me just say this right quick before I know our time's about up, but let me just say this. I don't know how it was when you were in school, and I don't know how it is in school today, but I know when I was in school, they taught us that it's not a child. It's not a baby. It's just a mass. That's what they taught us. So it's okay to abort this mass. It's not a child. So my generation was taught that you're not killing a baby. It's not a baby yet. My Bible teaches me different. See, that's why it's the same with our salvation. Are we going to listen to these people who's telling us that these children aren't babies? These are the same people that telling us that I got to be good to go to heaven. These are the same people who think they're going to go to heaven because they wrote a check and put it in an offering plate. Folks, we got to listen to God and what God says and not what the world says, because we're all under the same curse. We all are sinners. Amen.